Hey guys.
Welcome to another episode of Pew Time with Tony.
And Jackie.
And I'm going to forewarn you guys, this might be a slightly shorter episode, because I have some kind of head cold going on, and I don't want you guys to hear all episode.
We'll be muting him regularly.
And yeah, I will make it as seamless and as tolerable as possible, so you shouldn't hear it too much. So, let's jump right into some gun news.
What you got? SIG has come out with the 320X10 Endure. They say, adventure in confidence. It is a full-size X10 with 315 round mags, a 10mm bull barrel.
Stop right there. It's just an X10 with a different colored slide.
It has a full 5-inch. The regular X10 isn't 5, is it? Oh, the new compact one. Right. Right. That's what I was thinking of. Okay, so yeah, it's the same. But they cerakoted the slide, and they have LXG laser engraving on the grip.
I mean, it's cool. It's a,
so that it provides maximum grip during wet conditions, it says.
It's a Tipo Cerakote camo. It's cool looking.
Yeah.
But let's not come out with, like, I don't know. Is it really worth its own, like, model? No. You already have enough 320s. I mean, there's, like, 32,572 of them.
Right.
So.
32,572. Is that an exact number?
It's about that.
Just checking. Next, since it's not super newsworthy, I thought it was cool. That's it. Cerakote, laser engraving. It's an X10.
I mean, really, that's all it is.
Yeah. No.
It's no different than what the hell did I talk about yesterday? Yesterday. Last week. How was it? It's like, oh yeah, this is a new gun. It's like, it's just kind of the same shit.
Right. There is another one that we have to go over that is a new version of
one. This deserves to be a new gun.
Yeah, for sure, new gun.
Yeah, which is the Walther, we kind of called it, or I called it.
Mm-hmm.
That new gun is a steel frame from Walther, PDP, PDP match steel frame.
Correct.
Because, weirdly enough, probably because they learned their lesson from last time, all of the attention went to the PDP steel.
Yep.
So everything we're talking about the PDP steel applies to another gun that they released the same day, which is the PDP match in polymer.
Mm.
One's polymer framed, one's steel framed. But they released them on the same day.
I do wonder which one of them they were sneaking pictures of all over their Instagram. Probably the steel frame, I'm sure.
Yeah, the steel.
Yeah.
So, it is a 5-inch PDP with, you guessed it, a steel frame.
Right.
It comes from the factory with the Walther Ultra Dynamic Super Good Dope Flat Face Trigger. Comes with the Magwell. Comes with the new Gen 2 optic cut.
And it looks like they laser cut out the PDP grips off of a PDP and slapped them onto here and put screws in them to put it on the steel frame.
They have wraparound grips, much like the Q5s did.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure you'll be able to find lock heavy grips coming out very, very soon.
Oh, I'm sure. Magwell, their same serrations they have across the back, but the ones on the front are actually lightning cuts.
Right.
But they follow the same pattern and visual as
the Ultra Terrain.
Yes.
I'm actually excited to shoot the gun.
20 round mags.
Yeah. I'm excited to shoot it. Can't wait to try it. But.
Not excited to buy it.
Yeah. The MSRP on this thing is $1,900.
Every dollar counts. $18.99.
Yeah. So the MSRP on this thing is $1,900.
Yeah. That's insane.
But is it though? So I agree, right? There's sticker shock to that. But then I sat and really thought about it. If you have a Staccato, for example, your base price Staccato, $2,500. How much is it to buy a Chile or a Phoenix steel grip? It's about $600.
Yeah, $600.
What's a normal PDP versus the normal PDP match, to keep it fair?
Mm-hmm.
So the PDP match, what's the price difference between that and the match? You just had the window open. What are you doing?
I was looking only at the steel frame one.
I think the PDP polymer is around $1,100.
Okay. So, a little over $600 in fluctuation.
It's not far from going to polymer to steel. And we're not talking about a grip. We're talking about a whole new frame.
Yeah.
So, when you really sit down and look at it, yeah, I'm never not going to say that that's not an expensive Walther. Mm-hmm. But if you look at it compared to kind of what goes into it and everything else, is the cost justified? According to some of our friends that got early releases, it is. They absolutely love them. Mm-hmm. So, I really want to try one now. Especially because we're playing around with the 226 X5 today.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not for review.
No.
But I've shot one. You got to handle it pretty much all day today.
Yeah.
And that gun excites me. I love the way 226s shoot.
I like that the X5 is a single action and it doesn't have like the decocker with a double action. And right. It is. Obviously, they make the 226 both ways, but I was excited to see that the X5 was a single action in the trigger. Did you dry fire it?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
And it's adjustable from the factory.
Yeah.
So, anyway, the PDP. The trigger is phenomenal. Their little performance trigger they put in there, or their ultra dynamic, whatever they call it, is a very good trigger. So that's the other thing about this. Yes, it does not come with plates, but when you purchase one, you can, just like any other Walther, you can call and they'll send you one for free. Mm-hmm. So it's optic ready soon. Kind of. As soon as you get your plate kind of thing.
Right.
Now, I give them props on this. Out of the box, that's probably one of the most ready-to-go guns. Aside from not having a plate right away, the trigger's phenomenal. The weight's supposed to be there. The weight shoots is great.
Like, there's nothing outside of installing the red dot that you can think of that you would want to do to this gun before hitting the range with
it. I don't think so. Like, I think you could confidently buy one of those and just take it to a match. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
I'm excited to try it. I really want to try one.
That is it for gun news. There's some industry news.
There is some industry news.
This is kind of exciting, because when you told me, I think I geeked a little bit.
So, last year we went to A regular meetup 3, which is an event held by a regular gun guy. And it was a fun event. We were down in Georgia.
Yep. So Georgia was beautiful. The range was gorgeous. The event was a lot of fun. It was 2 days. I think two, three. I don't know. We were down there. It was hot. It felt like forever. 2 or 3 days down there for the event. During the last day of the event, they have like a nice banquet and they give away awards for people that have been nominated for certain things, different categories.
And they're called the Regular GunTuber Awards.
Tony has been nominated for the 2024...
RGAs is what they're called. The Regular GunTuber Awards, and I have been nominated for the
Action Shooter of the Year.
Action Shooter of the Year Award, yep.
Which is very cool.
So, if you're so inclined to vote for yours truly, I'll put a link in one of our descriptions and in the show notes. Go and vote for your boy.
Yay. That's it for industry news.
And my buddy Nick from PewView is being nominated. And because he beat me last time we shot together, I would really like to beat him at this. So screw Nick and vote Tony.
Go vote now. Shooting sports is next.
Really the only thing in shooting sports that I wanted to bring up is Jackie is wrong. There's still a match going on that we're going to have to talk about next week. This is really just to wish Team USA good luck for the Shotgun World shoot in Thailand.
Yes. And it is still happening, so we don't have anything for you. Till next week.
I just wanted to
have
another reason to say you were wrong.
I was wrong. I know. I feel like every time, like in the last month that we've made an announcement for a major, I'm like, this is the final one of the year. Just kidding, guys. Next week, this is the final one of the year. So right. I do believe, and I'm not going to say it, it may be that the World Shotgun Shoot is potentially the last major of 2023. I'm not going to say it. I just potentially maybe we'll wiggle our way around it.
Ooh, sorry. That was me protecting your guys' ears.
Hitting the mute button and almost knocking the mic over.
We shot a match.
We did shoot a match. It was a lot of fun.
Yep.
I have not shot a match since when I got sunburnt.
Let that sink in. She hasn't shot a match since the sun was out long enough and bright enough to get sunburned.
Yeah. Yeah. I shot one match with the platypus at the end of August. And then the first weekend of September, I shot one with the Prodigy. Or not the Prodigy, the Staccato P. Just kidding. Because you had Genie.
Uh-huh.
So I did get to shoot a match with Genie again.
This is the first match that we shot both platypi at the same time.
Yes, because when I shot the only other match I shot her at, you did not shoot that match. I think you were out of town. Mm-hmm. So we got to shoot them. At the same match. It was a lot of fun. And I'm rusty as fuck.
This was a super fun match because we had a lot of friends shoot. We got to shoot with Camps. I haven't shot with Camps in forever.
We shot at Pine Tree Pistol Club in Rockford.
And we also had some new shooters come from some friends of Rob's and I. Brought them along. Showed them the ropes. I think one of them is... Hooked.
Super hooked. He's super hooked.
Yeah. I mean, he called me today. Hey, how do I become a member? I was like, of what? And he's like, well, USPSA to do the classifier match coming up. I'm like, oh, join here. He goes, all right, I'm a member. I signed up. Are you going to shoot it?
Yeah, he's super hooked.
So, I am going to shoot it. You're going to shoot it.
I am.
So.
I don't know what I'm going to be shooting. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, maybe.
The cool and weird thing about this match, because it had been so long since I've actually, like, even put my gear on, I used my Blackhawk holster, so I just used my regular core belt and two clip-on mag pouches, so I didn't even have my full rig on.
You pulled a Tony.
I did pull a Tony. And, because, I mean, I don't have a proper holster for the platypus yet.
Right.
The only thing I have for it is putting a flashlight on it and throwing it in the omnivore. So that's what I did.
That's what I have. Proper holster.
But putting that proper holster on my rig and then taking that same proper holster off to carry my gun at work.
Yeah.
Until I get a second Blackhawk, it's not a proper holster. It's a, we'll deal with it till we get a proper holster. So the very first stage of the day, I don't know, I was like, feeling my Cheerios, I ran hard. Like, I was surprised myself. I surprised you.
I think it helps that you followed. The shooting order was Camps, me, you.
Yeah, so I got to watch you guys, like, running your asses off, and then I got to the line, and I'm like, here we go, motherfuckers! And I just, pew, just took off. It was absolutely awesome. I lost steam quickly.
Yeah.
Throughout the rest of the day. And then I got... Like, in my own head, I started over-confirming my shots and going, like, way too slow. Oh, my God, the classifier was so painful to watch. So painful.
Yes.
Like, agonizing.
It was Roscoe Rattle.
It was so slow.
So, I shot in the first two stages. I was trying my damnedest to keep up with Eric as best I could. And for the first two stages, I did pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
The third stage, I made a crucial mistake. I saw Eric had some problems on some steel. I'm like, this is my time, like an idiot. I'm like, this is where we're going to try and do some shooting on the move with some far partials. Two mics decided that was not a good idea. And that's kind of where it went from there. And then I shot an extra shot on the classifier and an extra hit.
Yeah.
But it looked cool.
It looked really cool. And you know, people will like purposefully throw extra stuff at a classifier to like bomb it if it's going to be bad. That was not the case. He legitimately shot 7 rounds so fast, he wasn't able to count how fast he was shooting.
I thought there were 6. I thought it was six.
It was like under 3 seconds. It was what, 2.5 or something like that for your first string?
No, it was over that.
For your first string?
Yeah, because I lost my dad on the turn and draw, so my first shot was like 2.4.
Oh.
It was horrible.
Either way, those 7 shots rattled off and it sounded like a machine gun.
As one does.
As one does.
So, it was 3 seconds for my first string. And I think I remember Eric telling me, because I lost my dot, he's like, were you just prepping the split heart? I was like, no, I legitimately turned draw and I lost my dot. I was just waiting to find my dot. So, my first shot was at like 2.4.
Mm-hmm.
We went over it. There was some 12 splits in there.
Yeah.
Again, bomb the stage. I think I ended up having like a D-class run on the stage, but...
Welcome to Limited Optics D-class, bitch.
I'm still unclassified, actually.
I am, too. I've only shot 3 matches with Lim-Ops. Yeah. So the January classifier, I'll at least get classified. I'm not expecting miracles, but we'll see what we get when we get there. We did get some questions in this week.
Wait, we're not done with this match.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Go on.
No, it was just nice having the new people out. They're more tactical guys.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really nice. This was the... This Pine Tree match really reminded me of, like, the Pine Tree matches that we shot in, like, 2015, 2016, 2017. Like, the old...
The crew that we ran with.
Yeah, just the style and the quality of the stage.
Mm-hmm.
They did a really good job, so I hope that continues. There seems to be some new blood injected into the people that are doing the shooting sports there, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm very, very looking forward to it.
Yes. No.
Sorry.
No.
No.
Now we go and move on to questions.
Oh, sorry guys, I had to blow my nose. Ugh.
So.
We got a CCC?
We did get a CCC. It is the, I like this a lot. It is the Steel Frame Challenge. It's the Steel Challenge!
Oh my god.
It is the Canic Rival S.
Okay.
The Shadow 2 Optic Ready. And the PDP Match Steel Frame.
Huh. Okay.
So, obviously we haven't had a chance to get our hands on the PDP yet, but we've held the regular PDP. We know what it feels like. We can imagine, like, the weight and heft of the big gun. We see the features that we really like already. So, take that into consideration.
Sorry.
And, what would you... Honestly, I don't know if I would keep the Canic.
Yeah, I'm crushing the Canic, actually.
Yeah.
Well, it's not because I have any personal experience with it. I've only shot it once.
Mm-hmm.
But it just felt off in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
If the steel frame feels anything like the standard one, I'm going to love it. And rounded out-wise, I think it'll feel a little more comfortable to carry. So I would carry the PDP, and I'm going to compete with the Shadow 2.
I was going to go the same way. Yep. Can you imagine, like, the tightness of the belts? Like, I will be forever molded into a snowman shape because of my belt squeezing in so tight to hold that steel gun up.
I think I'm going to look. I'm going to be perpetual Santa Claus.
Next question. Oh, yeah. That was the only CCC. Also, for any of our new listeners, we haven't been doing too many CCCs. This is the first request we've gotten in a while. CCC is Carry, Compete, Crush. You submit 3 guns to us that we now have to funnel into each of these 3 categories. If we're going to crush it, we're going to carry it, or we're going to compete with it.
Yeah, it's the gun version of Marry, Fuck, Kill.
Yep.
Or Marry, Kiss, Kill, whichever side of the country you grew up on.
how far into the city did you live?
Right.
So, yeah, it's a really fun game. And when we submit, or when we post up on Monday mornings on Instagram and Facebook, our posts and our stories, we'll have a spot in there where you guys can submit your questions for the show as well as your CCCs. And if you're not on the socials and just like listening to our podcast and you're like, I'm not getting Instagram just for that, send us an email, pewtimepodcast@gmail.com, to submit all of your questions and CCCs. Next question. Is PCSL... I feel so weird saying that acronym. I mean, I feel like
PCSL?
Yeah. Why? Because it's like a letter off of pumpkin spice latte.
Oh, my God.
And it's like that's all I see when I see PCSL is pumpkin spice latte, basic white bitch life.
Okay.
That's all I see. I don't know why. PCSL. Practical concealed spice latte. Practical competition spice latte. Spiced latte. Also, I hate pumpkin spice latte.
Are you done with the pumpkin spice latte?
I am.
Okay.
The question is
PCSL,
good Lord, going to take off next year? If so, why or why not?
You want me to answer this?
Yeah, you can absolutely go into it. I have not looked into what the matches are. We talked about the targets way back and what the differences are. Some people are getting to a point where they don't use PSA anymore and are dabbling in this new acronymed sport, PCSL.
So I think, I mean, I would like to see it grow. I think the more shooting sports, the better.
Mm-hmm. Options.
Yeah.
Variety is the spice of life.
And, a couple friends and I were talking today kind of more about it, and it does have a lot of appeal, a more simplistic rule set. They definitely do a lot of combining pistol and a rifle-calibered rifle, as opposed to doing like a two-gun where it's PCC and pistol. A pistol.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, it is following the trend of today. I think they need a good, solid rule set, which they do have rules now. And I think maybe not so much rule set, but like our friend Alex said, definitely RO, like an RO cert, an RO training,
mm-hmm.
because there's parts of a PCSL, and we haven't shot one yet. This is just me talking and watching other people. There's parts that are different than USPSA. Do I think it's going to take over USPSA? No. USPSA has, a lot of people tend to forget that it is just the U.S. branch of IPSC, which is the global shooting sports.
Right.
And that is, if you're in action shooting, that's where the best of the best are. That is the cream of the crop. That's where the number one competitors are.
Right.
And it boils, it trickles down from there.
When you compete for a world shoot, it is IPSC.
Right. So I hope it takes off. I mean, I'm always down for shooting sports, so it just needs to have people. I do think, especially with the Wisconsin section being so close to us, we kind of see what's going on up there, and there are a lot of clubs that some are dropping USPSA totally, and some are doing half and half. I think I don't think dropping it totally USPSA, like not having USPSA matches at all, is a mistake. Yes, there's some bullshit going on in the organization, but I don't think you should jump ship. Like USPSA is what I enjoy. It's what I love.
Right.
I love shooting sports, but USPSA is kind of there for me.
Yeah.
So I think if you want to try PCSL, have it in conjunction with USPSA, and this gives the opportunity for spillover for each one. Correct. Maybe some PCSL guys come over and go, oh, this USPSA thing's kind of cool.
Or, and vice versa. Right. I mean, it's the same thing with IDPA and USPSA, right?
Yeah,
you
know, but the
were USPSA mostly. You've shot IDPA before you ever shot USPSA. I just shot my first IDPA in this last year.
Well, the only reason I did that is because that's what some of the local guys were doing. And at that time, it our area was more IDPA heavy than USPSA.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I did that. It wasn't because I wanted to do USPSA because I fell in love with open guns, and then I found out open guns weren't a thing in IDPA. I'm like, oh. So.
Bye, IDPA.
Right. And yet I still don't shoot open.
Funny.
Which is kind of funny. I have open guns. I said I don't shoot open.
Right.
So.
But you can.
But I can. But the crossover, equipment-wise, is much more similar between PCSL and USPSA than anyone else. So, that was a long-winded way of going, people just need to participate and be vocal and talk to Max Leograndis, who's the founder of PCSL, about how it works. If you have questions or concerns, you know, reach out to him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's a way to do that on their website.
Yeah.
So.
Next question. Should you shoot the division where the heat is at in your area? Or shoot what division you like.
Sorry.
So, shooting the division where the heat is at in your area, or shooting the division that you like. I feel like it depends, right? Like if you're in a division that you're like striving to get better in, and that's where you're passionate at, and it's doesn't happen to be limited optics or carry optics, which is generally where the heat is. I mean, you can still see overall scores, right? Can your division that you're passionate about, like, can it be competitive with those heat divisions? You know what I'm saying?
Well, I think the only correct answer, really, depending on... It's really the only answer. You should shoot what you like. But that's being honest with yourself of who are you as a person.
Right.
Are you just, hey, this is cool, I like shooting guns, I want to get better with my carry gun, and this is a form of training for me? Or are you a competitor who would thrive and push themselves even if it meant going to a different division?
True.
So if you're a competitor, you need to shoot where the heat's at. You know? I think a lot of limited shooters are finding that right now. 40 is going the way of the dodo bird.
Mm-hmm.
And insert, there goes our last female.
come on.
And I think a lot of limited guys are like, oh, this is bullshit, because it used to be a very popular division. And numbers are dwindling, especially with limited optics.
Yeah.
So, what do the competitive guys do? The guys that thrive on competition, they're getting limited optics guns built.
Right.
Or they're sending their gun out to get rebarreled for 9, putting a dot on their gun.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to sell their 40 limited guns, which isn't easy right now.
Right.
So
just put it in storage. Everything makes its rotation. It'll be back in 2040.
No, it won't. I think 40 Shit. Stands less of a chance of hanging on than 38 Super has.
Yeah.
Oh,
you
yeah.
think so?
Yes.
38 Super as general or 38 Super Comp for competition?
Well, Super Comp.
Yeah.
Because it's been tailored to fit it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are still some benefits to having Super Comp versus 9 Major. Pros and cons, right? The con is the brass is ludicrously expensive.
Right.
The pro is you get to mess with different powders and different mixtures because you have more room to play inside
right,
the case.
Because the case is bigger.
Right. 40 is just 40. That's it. Like,
would you dare to say that 40 is just a short 10 millimeter?
It is.
It's a joke.
Oh.
Because everyone who's like, well, what's a 10? Well, it's a tall 40.
No.
Now we're going to make the reference that the 40 is just a small 10 millimeter.
You know what the nickname for 40 is, right?
Hmm.
40 short and weak.
That's funny.
Because it's a 10
mil. That's really funny.
Yeah. You've never heard that?
No.
Wow, okay.
No, that's funny.
We don't talk about 40 in this house a lot.
No, we don't. I think we have two 40s.
So it's funny, we were talking about 40s. I was just looking at 9mm conversion barrels for my old limited M&P.
Yeah.
Just to have, like, another carry optics gun. Like, to have something that I could just take, like, oh, like, cause it's got an awesome trigger in it. Like, it's just sitting there because it's a 40.
Right. I literally picked up the 320 with the 40 conversion. It's right. I put it right behind us on the wall. Like, I put it up on display. There it is.
Yeah, it's right here. Calm down.
Yeah. I had to do a double take because I didn't see it at first. But I had the same kind of thing where I looked at it, I picked it up, I held it in my hands, I pointed it, I dry fired it, I racked it, dry fired it again, looked at it, put it back on the wall, and was like, "Why do I have you?"
Right. Well, the 320, it's different, right?
Because I'll just put a different upper on there. Because you're so cool.
We'll put that upper in mothballs. Back in my day.
Oh my gosh. But I do remember how hard it was to find a lot of that stuff.
It was horrible for the 320.
The Barstow barrel.
That's not a Barstow. That's a factory SIG barrel.
Well, you were looking for a Barstow, weren't you? And you couldn't find one.
Not in 40.
Yeah. So yeah, that was a very hard build. Which was hard for you. It wasn't hard for me because I didn't do anything. But then once you completed it and I shot it in 40, I remember the first time because you asked me to test fire it.
Right.
And wow.
See, I don't think it's 40 that you like. I think it's just that gun is comfortable. It's got good weight to it.
But the power, like, yeah. I enjoy shooting the Legion in 9, but when I shoot the Legion with 40, like,
yeah. But you've never shot that with a 9 upper. Maybe you should shoot that with a 9 upper and see what you think of it.
Outside of the Magwell, that's what I used when I first shot carry optics.
No, that gun is tungsten everything.
Oh.
The tungsten slug, the brass magwell, the large grip, the tungsten guide rod. Like, it's a heavy son of a bitch.
Well, maybe we will. And then maybe we'll just chuck all the 40 shit.
Mothballs.
Mothballs.
I feel like we need to get rid of it because can't sell it and actually get anything for it right now.
Right. Yeah, we'll sit on it. Why not? Just add more things to the collection.
It's not like there's not parts that are on here.
Projects. Parts, guns.
Anyway, next question.
I'm able to draw from my holster at my local range. What drills can I do to keep me sharp, single lane use?
So I think what people...
Nothing with movement, I think, is what we're getting at with the single lane use.
Well, or multiple targets, usually.
Mm-hmm.
I think what a lot of indoor ranges, at least nowadays, have gone to, is they're not so particular about distance.
Mm-hmm.
So way back when, everyone used to have, like, oh, you got to be, like, a minimum of, like, 10 yards away.
Right.
So, if that is not the case, and you can put it at whatever distance you want, a really good drill to work on, if you can work at like 3 yards, 5 yards, 7 if you want to hate yourself, is the Frank Garcia dot drill, which is done on a regular 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, sideways, 6 2-inch circles, and I don't even remember the par time. It's been so long since I've done it. But it is draw and shoot 5 rounds into the circle under a par time. I think it's 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Might be 2.5 or 3.
I think 2.5 sounds right.
I'm almost positive. Is it 3?
We'll look it up.
Anyway, do you have a drill?
I was just going to say, you know, working on your draws and your reloads and one on target. Like, doubles. Doubles are great. You know, drawing from the holster and 2 on paper.
Right.
Now, is that Frank Garcia one the same thing as the dot torture drill?
No.
That torture drill is different. And that is Ben Steger, right?
Oh, it's 5 seconds for a part time. So draw, fire 6 shots, and do a 2-inch dot. Part time, 5 seconds.
And then how many yards?
This one starts at 3.
Okay.
Or no, this is 7 yards for 5 seconds. But I would tell people, most people start at 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would start at 3. Like,
yeah.
A 2-inch circle is small.
It is. But it is a hell of a good drill. because it pushes you enough in speed to make you really still have to focus on grip and being focused, like target focused, good trigger control. It works on everything the build drill works on, just not at as quick of a pace.
Right.
So it's a really good drill.
Yes. You and Jackie are on a squad with 10 fictional characters. Who are those characters?
Oh.
Now I'm thinking like this, we have the freedom for like cartoon characters as well as live action film.
Definition of fictional, right?
Well, like.
Yep. Listen, Roger Rabbit's a thing, so we're good.
Okay.
But I'm going to say we're going to have to come back to it. Give me some time to simmer on it. We'll do the next question.
Okay. What's one conspiracy theory that you 1000% believe in?
Huh.
Rona.
Too soon?
Let's see.
It was created to enslave you.
Man, what is... You're going to get us canceled.
No, that's why I said it differently.
I don't really know of a conspiracy theory that I 100%...
Like Area 51.
I don't know. Do you have one?
Man on the Moon. That's a conspiracy theory. Do you believe that we had people walking on the moon?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we went to the moon. But is that a conspiracy theory? I think the conspiracy theory is that we actually didn't go to the moon.
That's what I'm saying, is do you believe that we landed on the moon?
Yeah.
So, and you would say yes, so then that's one conspiracy theory you don't believe in.
No, but it says you do believe in.
I know. I'm going through different ones to see if it jogs something in your mind. Like,
oh, flat well, here earthers. We go. Aliens. That's a conspiracy theory. I fully believe that there's aliens. So...
Yeah, it's very, it'd be very hard to believe that...
We're the only fucking thing?
That is alive, right.
Yeah. Fuck off.
Right. And they maybe don't have the... I mean, we don't have the capability to getting to their planet.
Yeah, I very much believe that we're like a giant Simpsons episode. Then, like, they can see us and they're just like, oh, wait till they see 2023.
Yeah.
Like.
So... Without getting us canceled. On right. To the next question.
What is your plan for zombies? The zombie apocalypse. This question's like 10 years out of date.
This wall, that bin, those mags, those plates.
And the closest Meijer's parking lot. Or Menards parking lot.
And we're back.
Sorry.
plus like lots of like, you know, dried foods, like backpack.
Yeah, luckily we don't live too far from farming friends with lots of land.
Yeah,
so I don't know,
hunker down somewhere in a barn.
Yeah, I'm certainly not going fucking I Am Legend and like wandering everywhere.
No,
that's stupid.
Yes, I mean, we have a I say we have pretty good aim, and I mean, you'll just dump a mag till you hit the zombie's brains.
That's not very nice.
Accuracy by volume, isn't that your slogan? That's
not very nice. that's not a question. Fast as fuck, boy! They're referencing the post that I put up for questions, which is me doing the turn and draw on Roscoe Rattle, which is turn and draw, shoot six, reload, shoot six. And I did do it a somewhat spicy.
Very spicy. And I purposefully put this question in here, even though it's not a question for the podcast, it's a question for you regarding that video, and it's, can I purchase those hands?
I think I responded to this online. I said no, but you can catch them.
Oh, I like this one. Should concealed be a division or category? Absolutely.
No.
No?
No.
Like backup gun division for IEPA. They have that.
I assume he's talking USPSA because he's a USPSA shooter.
Right. So you don't think that USPSA should have a carry gun division?
No.
No?
No, you Why? Can shoot it now anyway.
You can.
So?
But then, like, I could compete. I'm going to start a fucking picket shield. Line
that says no more divisions. You want to shoot that competitively? Go to How IDPA. How about
we just get rid of L10?
No!
And single stack. I'm sorry. I love you, Noel.
I can hear Noel typing right now.
I know. He's mashing Screw the keyboard. You, Jackie. I'm sorry. It's totally a joke. But yeah, limited 10 can definitely go.
That's fine. But if you want to shoot competitively with a carry gun, go shoot IDPA.
Oh, yuck, another rules on this whole pie slicing exposure to more than one bullshit. It's just, oh, it's so fucking stupid.
Then grab your carry gun, like I did, and go shoot carry optics, or now limited optics, and have at it.
Yeah. My gun only has 15 round mags.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't think it should be its own division.
Hmm. We'll agree to disagree. You're wrong. Next question. Do you plan on attending any industry-related events in 2024? And if so, which ones?
Well, we'll for sure be at SHOT Show.
Mm-hmm. We are hoping to do the NRA show in Dallas. We're Maybe. Not set on it, but we want to.
Yeah.
A regular meetup.
Yeah.
And TriggerCon, GunCon, and Guns Out.
Here's the thing. I don't know, because a lot of these aren't even set yet.
All
right. SHOT Show for sure. That's really the only for sure one mm-hmm. for me, because we don't have our match schedule. I don't have my classes solidified. Like, there are so many other things.
We basically we can't see past the last day of SHOT Show in our minds right now. But we want a lot.
Yeah, I'd love to attend them all, right? Because I love seeing everyone. I love meeting everyone. But we just have to see how realistic it is.
And one more question related to the post for your finger, for your trigger finger.
Uh-huh.
Do you have to register that trigger finger? I'm sure that converts firearms into machine guns.
It does. Hashtag the human switch.
Yes, sir.
Oh. Will production grow with the new rule set, or will it keep dying off? I assume you're talking about if it goes to 15, or if and when it'll go to 15 at this point. I don't want to admit it. There'll always be a place for it. Look at single stack and revolver. It's been around. It's just going to become a very niche thing. I think iron sights in general is going to become a very niche thing. And it's just the change of the landscape. Yeah, I was talking to my buddy Mike about when we started, just how dramatic our guns are different than now. Or even brand new shooters when they come in.
Mm-hmm.
How different their gun is versus now.
Right.
You know, when we started, you had a Glock 34. If you were fancy, you had a stock 2.
Mm-hmm.
When we started, the Shadow 2 wasn't even a thing. It didn't exist. They had the original Shadow.
Yeah.
But you had to compete with, like, a Shadow, I don't remember, AccuShadow.
That's yeah, the AccuShadow.
So, now you got guys like, oh, I'm my first competition. Like, you're here with a Masterpiece Arms. Well, that's what you need, right? No. What?
Right. Like, looking at, like, I had a Glock 19. I shot my first match and, like, a couple practice sessions with at the end of our, because we started our year when we started was, like, September was our first match.
Right.
So, we had, like, a month or two of matches, month and a half. Before the season ended. Then, coming up into the next season, I got the Smith & Wesson M&P Pro.
Yep.
And you were shooting the 34.
No. I had stopped shooting the 34 because it was biting my hand.
And I got a Glock 17
Gen 4 because I couldn't. I was told I couldn't put a beaver tail on a Gen 3.
Yeah.
So then I went out, ran out, and bought a used 17 Gen 4.
Because those have the replaceable back straps and it's a factory part.
Right. And I found a bargain bin bullshit, like, light tube front sight. And I turned the factory sight around. Mm-hmm. So I could have a blacked out rear.
Right.
So it was quite a different time back in the day.
Yeah, it was definitely different. There was not much you were allowed to upgrade on your guns.
And I liked it. I liked the challenge of it.
It was a much simpler time.
I mean, so my gun had a bargain bin front sight, a factory rear sight turned around, a 3.5 pound connector out of a Glock 34, and it was polished. That was it. That's all my gun had.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got our first belts on clearance from like Midway USA for $20.
Yeah.
There was an inner and an outer.
I remember how like sticker shocked we were when we went to go replace those belts. The first time we like, you know, went to go get new belts because we were getting, you know, going to go in new divisions or upgrading our belts, upgrading our gear, and went to go pay for a belt and realize they are not all $20.
No.
It was...
Right.
I was like, you spent how much on gear?
Yeah, and that's part of, I guess, years ago, maybe I should do another, like, new shooter initiative
mm-hmm.
with, like, modern prices to see how cheap it is.
Right.
Because even when we started, we both used, everyone talked shit about them. We used Uncle Mike's holsters.
Yeah. And Phobos double mag pouches.
Yeah. Like, that's how we started.
Right.
You know?
You have, like, 2 Phobos double mag pouches. So you have 4 mags plus your starter.
Right. Yep.
It's crazy. Like, thinking back
to, simpler times.
Like, oh, yeah. It was so simple. Like, just, like, easy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It seemed like so like seamless and careless and not careless, like carefree.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe we should do that. Maybe we should do like
a back to basics match.
A back in time, like see if we can find what's left of our old gear.
Uh-huh.
And just grab it and go shoot a match with it. Obviously, I'm going to be honest, I don't fit in the same belt. So that part's going to change.
Yeah.
But yeah, if we use the same holster, I don't have the Glock 17 anymore, but I do have my 34,
mm-hmm.
which I won't use.
Right. Well, we have the M&P because you were shooting the M&P right. after that. You forced a trade on me because it kept eating your hand. So forced, I was shooting persuaded. The 34 for about a season before you got the 17. Yeah. Persuaded.
Yeah.
In all fairness, you originally wanted that M&P that I bought.
Yeah.
I owed it to you, I suppose, to shoot with it for a part of a season, I guess. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Good times. 2015 is when we started shooting USPSA. So it's been a little over 8 years.
Yeah.
It was September of 2018. We shot our first match. Or August. August, September.
Something like in the fall. That.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to look back at our practice score for Oak Park Sportsman's Club in 2015 and see when we shot our very first match. Yeah, it's been a hot minute. And I still suck. I'm still C-class. But it took me like 5-6 years to get out of D-class.
Just got to push.
Yeah, I really wasn't. It's an outlet, right? It's something fun for me to do. It's something we enjoy doing right. together. Our entire lives revolve around the guns and the gun industry. And
yeah, you're not like, it's weird. You're not hyper-competitive all the time. There's moments
yeah.
where you are.
Yeah. And I think it's with certain people. Like yeah. like my homeboys that I talk shit with.
Right.
Like I got 2 guys on my hit list.
Right.
And if I'm shooting a match with them, I'm cranking it up to 10. I'm going to miss all my shots, but I'm going to crank it up to 10. But yeah, I'm like competitive on a certain level with certain people, but I'm not, you know, I'm not you know, training and dry firing and trying to figure out ways to, like, cut time and shave seconds outside of just moving faster. So, I'm just having fun. It is what it is. I'm not mad when I come in a bad placement. Just, it is what it is. Like, I completely expected that score. I had a great time, though.
Well, thanks for having, thanks for joining us on this trip down memory lane. And the rest of this episode, if you guys want to reach out to us, pewtimepodcast@gmail.com.
Or on Instagram or Facebook at Laugh and Load.
Or Twitter, or I mean X, or Threads, or YouTube, any of those.
All of the socials, at Laugh and Load.
Like, review, rate, whatever you need to do for the things. We appreciate you guys, because we just got our analytics and stuff for 2023, and it has grown substantially, and that is all due to you guys.
So thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much.
2023 has been the year that the podcast has had the largest spike in growth and more people following.
Yep.
So all of you new listeners,
welcome.
We see you, we see the numbers, and we're very grateful for you.
So we will talk to you guys next week. Thank you very much.
Bye.